How many times does somebody come to him and say, what does it look like? And he says, give up your relationship with your parents and or sell out all your possessions or completely surrender everything to me. He does this all the time with people. And so Jesus never lowers the bar. He never creates something that's comfortable, that it's about ease, it's about the known, but he's always pushing us in our faith. And if you spend any time with God and truly following him, he is going to push you out of your comfort zone at some point. He will. Just wait. It's coming. In fact, it's interesting. I don't know. Did you hear some of the songs you're singing? Did you hear? I was even thinking about it as we were singing again, Oceans. You sing a song like, allow me to step out of the boat, on the waters unknown, into places I've never been. Like, we're singing that song. We're asking God to increase our faith, to give us opportunities to step out, to move forward, to be a part of it. And so we struggle with this. Comfort, security, known. Like, that's something that is going to push against your faith. And we need to know that as followers of Jesus. The second thing is, I really believe that is a problem that pushes against our faith is we don't believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Right? Like, we don't really believe that the promises of God and the things that God says he's going to follow through on those things. Because if we really believed God and what he said he was going to do, it would be much easier for us to move out in faith, knowing that he is in control, knowing that the promises that he's given us are faithful and are true. I think about this, is the best way to illustrate it for me, the way personally that I think about it. So I think about my daughter Riley. So some of you have met my daughter Riley. A lot of you have. She's the second youngest. She's the one who's usually walking like this around. She's kind of flipping and fluttering. And so this is Riley. And I remember when we were teaching Riley to swim. We live in Brainerd Lakes area, lots of lakes. We have friends that are lakes. My parents have a house on a lake. My grandparents had a house on a lake. My mother-in-law has a pool in her house, and so like they're on water all the time. So it's important for our kids to learn how to swim. And being the good dad that I am, wanting to teach my daughter how to swim, often what I would do is I would want her to experience like jumping in the water. And so what I would do is I would turn around, I'd get on the inside the pool, and I'd get Riley on the edge, and I would kind of wade out probably 5, 6, 7 feet out, and then I would stand there, and what would I tell Riley to do? Jump, right? And I would tell her, I'd assure her, what do I tell her? I'll catch you, right? Daddy's gonna catch you. So I'll let you go under and then I'm gonna pop you up and I just want you to get used to jumping in. And I can see the wheels turning to my daughter. Okay? And so what she'll do is she'll look at me, as I'm standing out there, and she'll kinda, go to the edge like this, and she gets right to the edge. And I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me, and she's looking at the edge, and she's looking at me, and she's looking at the edge. And I can see in her mind, here's what's going on. This is safe. That's not. I can breathe. May not be able to breathe over there. And so she's sitting there, and she's like, I can stand here. I'm secure here. And so she's looking at me, and there's this tension inside of her that says, this is safe. That's not. This is safe. That's not. I'm not quite sure if I want to jump. And so I'm watching this in my daughter Riley. The second thing is going on in her mind as I'm standing there and I'm saying, jump, daddy's going to catch you, is dad going to do what he says he's going to do? I know he says he's going to catch me. He says he's going to pull me up. He says, but what if he doesn't come through? I could die. I could drown. I could, sink to the bottom, and then that's the end of my young life. And I'm watching these wheels turn in her as she's looking. This is safe. This is secure. That's not safe. That's not secure. Dad's saying jump, but I know he's followed through every other time. But what if he doesn't this time? And I'm seeing this. And if we're honest, this is us, right? Because often we're at the edge of the pool. And God is saying, I want you to jump. And we're looking and saying, but this is safe, this is secure, that's not safe, that's not secure. And we're looking and saying, but what if God doesn't come through? What if God doesn't do what he says he's going to do? And this is us. We're my daughter Riley. You know, like this is the things that we struggle with. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 just for a few minutes. I'm going to just highlight a couple of these verses. We'll come back to them in the midst of this morning. And so I'm just going to kind of hop around a little bit. Look at the first few verses there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. Now he goes on, he's going to list a bunch of people here over the next few verses. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he commended the world and became an heir of the righteousness that is keeping with faith. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Down in verse 17, talking about Abraham more. By faith, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice, he embraced the promise about the sacrifice of his one and only son. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped and leaned on top of a staff. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when the end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites. 23, by faith Moses' parents hid him 3 months after he was born. Verse 29, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground. And so you're beginning to see, by faith, this person responded. By faith, this person did this. By faith, this movement was moving. This person was moving forward. Here's what I want to do this morning, just for a couple minutes, is I want to talk about 5 key words in faith. Now, these are not like the exclusive words. These are not like the, but here's our 5 things that I see as a common thread through the lives of all these different people as a way of examining and saying, okay, is this evident of me? As God is asking me as I'm stepping on the edge of the pool to jump, are these things that are evident in my life that would cause me to leap to him and believe that he is going to do what he says he's going to do? But here's what I need you to do this morning. We're going to do this a little bit interactively. Okay, I'm going to ask you what these are, and then I want you to respond because I want you to remember these 5 words, okay? So here's the first one this morning. The first word is love. What's the first word? That wasn't very good. Okay, let's try it again. That was warm up, okay? That's warm up. First word. Okay, first word again. Okay, love. So this is the essence of the beginning of faith, that that faith starts with loving and pursuing God. Okay, that you cannot have true biblical faith without first having a deep, passionate love for God. I think about some of these people that we looked at over the last few minutes. We look at somebody like Noah in verse 7, where we see in Numbers chapter 12 that Noah was the most humble man on the face of the earth, that he had a passionate love for God. Joseph, that we see in verse 22. You remember as Joseph's brother found him in Egypt and realized that it was him for the first time and they thought, oh man, we're in trouble. You remember Joseph's response? What you intended for evil, God intended for good. God had me. God had me. It's fine, brothers. Like you thought this, God was in control. I think about like Joshua. In verse 30, one of my favorite passages in Joshua chapter 23, where Joshua is at the end of his life and he's commissioning the new leaders of Israel. And one of the most important things that he wants to pass on to them is don't forget your first love. Like, don't forget pass off this leadership to these new people, don't forget to love God first. Don't forget to love God most. the very foundation and the beginning of faith is love. Because it's a motivation question, right? It's like, what's the motivation for us responding? What's the motivation for us doing? What's the motivation for us being here this morning? Because I'm here to tell you, like, if it's just merely information, that's not going to change your heart. I can't give you enough information to somehow stir in your heart to change you. The reality is only through, through the revelation of who God is, that will stir your heart. It's the difference between information versus revelation. I was telling the first service a little while ago. It's amazing. I try to explain to my kids, like, my first computer, right? Anyone remember your first computer? Like, I mean, it was like slow, right? Maybe you still have dial-up internet. Anyone still have dial-up internet? You want to admit you have dial-up internet? You remember? Oh, there we go. Got one. Someday you're going to experience something just amazing, not dial-up internet. You remember, like, I remember. So we used to have, like, Juno. You remember, like, free email Juno? And it was just like, as it's dialing and calling. And then your email pops up, and if somebody would attach a picture, you'd be like, oh, man. And you'd have to go leave for dinner to come back, an hour and a half later because your half a megabyte picture was still uploading. This was, it's amazing. In fact, I have an iPhone, and it's I'm sure it's more powerful than my first four computers combined. I mean, there's no doubt in that. In fact, I have access to more information than I've ever had before. And we do as people, right? Like, we can pull out our phone and you can figure out where you want to go to a restaurant. You can find out what's going on. I can listen to sermons and podcasts and read books. Man, I got books on my phone that I read sometimes when I'm on the plane as I'm scrolling through my phone and reading books. Like, we have more access to more information than ever in history. And the question is, has that fundamentally changed us? Has it caused us to love God more? Has more information caused us to love God more? No. Like, just because we have information doesn't mean that that's stirring our affections for God. That only comes through God revealing himself to us through his revelation. And my hope for us is our motivation as God reveals himself to us is that we would begin to understand that true biblical faith starts with love. So what's the first word? Love. Okay. Here's the second word. The second word is connect. What's the second word? Okay. First word? Second word? First word? Second word? Second word? Got it. Nice. Okay. Here's what happens is when you love somebody, it moves you to connection. How many of you are married? Okay. If you're married, hopefully you know this. There was kind of not as many hands in the first service said, oh, how many of you can say you're more connected with your spouse now? And there's like four people that I raised. I'm like, whoa, I think everybody's just a little bit tired and sleepy. But we know this as with our spouse, right? The more we fall in love with them, the more our hearts are knitted together. Like, if you're married, you know this. Like, how many of you can finish sentences for your spouse? Come on. Like, I'm sitting here sometimes, and my wife is talking to somebody, and I'm like, I almost get to say, just pause, honey, and I'll just finish this sentence for you, because I already know what you're going to say. Right? And that has come, that connection has come, because our hearts are so similar. One of the things we used to do when we were crazy and young and madly in love is we used to drive from Portland to Sacramento. She was from Sacramento. And so we'd go down there for like the weekend. It's like a 9-10 hour trip. So we'd drive our Friday night, we'd leave, drive 9 hours, get in at 6 a.m., be there until like Saturday night, and then drive back to be home on Sunday afternoon or something like that. But I remember those conversations. As we're talking for 10 hours in the middle of the night, and she's trying to keep me awake, as I'm like driving like this down I-5, I just remember those conversations. I remember she began to share like her frustration and some of the pain of being from a divorced family, right? I remember her talking about just issues that she had with friends or her parents. I remember her sharing about dreams, and then I would share about dreams that I had and passions and things that, and what would begin to happen is as we would begin to, our love would begin to cultivate, what began to happen was our hearts would become knitted together. And so in a lot of ways, now I feel what my wife feels. And I see things the way that my wife sees things. And the same is true with God. When our love for God is continually deepened and cultivated, that we begin to have a connection with Him. And so we begin to see what He sees. You go out into, this afternoon when you go to a restaurant and you begin to see your waitress the way that God sees your waitress because your heart is being woven together with Him. You begin to feel the same things that He feels as your heart is broken for people or situations around the world. As you begin to understand things the way that He understands them, because of your love for Him, your hearts begin to connect together. And so what's the first word? Love that moves us to what? Connect. And so here's the third word. The third word is believe. What's the third word? Believe. So first word, second word, third word, believe. Okay, so here's what happens. When we love God and we move into a true intimate connection with Him, we begin to believe that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. So look at verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. I love this story of Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, check out this next phrase, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as his Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city of foundations whose architect and builder was God. By faith, he's going to talk about his wife. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from now, one man, as he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. I love the story of Abraham because Abraham exudes this belief that God was going to do that what he says he was going to do. I don't see it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know where I'm going. It's not physically possible for me to have children. And yet he who is faithful, he who made the promise is faithful. And they were able to believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. See, all of these stories in Hebrews chapter 11 had this belief in God, had this belief that God, I don't necessarily understand it. I don't necessarily get it. It doesn't necessarily make sense to me. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I am going to move forward in faith, believing in who you are, what you said, and ultimately your control in the situation. It's interesting for us how many promises of God that we have, right? In fact, here's just a few of them. I jotted down just a few of them for us this morning. You can just kind of quickly jot these down or just listen. So 2 Peter chapter 1, because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Jeremiah 29:11, so I know the plans for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Matthew chapter 11, come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 40, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. They'll soar high on wings like eagles, and they'll run and not grow weary. Philippians chapter 4, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs for his glorious riches, which have been given in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is in ours in Christ Jesus. Proverbs chapter 1, but all who listen to me will live in peace. John chapter 14, I'm leaving you a gift, the precious Holy Spirit, and the gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow, what you'll eat or drink or about your body, but seek first the kingdom of God and these things will be added to you. We can go on and on and on and on about the promises of God. But how many times do we get to this point and say, okay, God, are you really going to do it? Like I read all these promises, I hear all these things, but are you really going to do what you say you're going to do? Are you really going to come through? See, here's the deal. I was thinking about even this foundation of this belief, this faith that we have is belief. But what the Bible consistently talks about is this belief is always rooted in action. So if you want to talk about faith, we talk about our response to God and how we move forward in action. I think about passages like James chapter 2. You know, where he says, what good is it for my brothers to claim to have faith but have no deeds? Like, I'll show you my faith by my actions, the things that I do. So the third word is what? Believe. You're a little slow on that one. Caught you off guard there. Third word, believe. Okay, first word. Second word moves us to what? Believe. Okay. Here's the fourth word. The fourth word is future. What's the fourth word? Future. Okay, so first word, second word, moves us to what? Fourth word. And here's the fourth word. It gives us a future perspective. When I have a love for God, and that love for God moves me to connect with His heart, in that connection with His heart, I believe in His goodness and who He is and His character. And it allows me to have a future perspective. And this is what these people had. Like these people in Hebrews chapter 11, there was a future perspective that they understood. Look at verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. So what these people understood was this place is not my home. Like this is not the be all end all of everything that we understand or know. Now, a lot of us, the problem is we live this way. We live in such a way that this place is our home and we put all of our stock, all of our energy, everything into making sure everything is okay in this moment, in this place. And I'll tell you what, this snap, and it's gone. Like life is, Bible talks about being a vapor, a mist that's here one moment and then gone the next. And the reality is this place we need to have true faith is to have a future perspective. How many of you have ever been on a mission trip before? Anyone been on a mission trip before? Anyone been out of the country on a mission trip? Okay, a couple of us. I've had a bunch of opportunities to be out of the country. And I remember one of my favorite opportunities was when I was in college. My third year in college, I played for a college basketball in Portland for Bible college. And we got to go to the Philippines for 2.5 weeks. I mean, it was amazing. We're talking about like amazing like culture, people, best mangoes I've ever had as we just pull off on the side of the road and hack them off. And eat. I mean, it was just amazing ministry. Like I remember people, young people getting saved after these basketball games as we're sharing the gospel, as we're encouraging. It was so interesting though. As much as I love those 2.5 weeks, what I always knew was, as good as this is not home. Like this is not where I am ultimately meant to be. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a time. I'm here for a season. I'm here to do work. I'm here to be a part of the things that God has called me to be a part of. But at some point, I'm going to transition out of being in the Philippines into going back to the States where ultimately that is my home. And we need to begin to view our lives in the same extent. And you can begin to understand that this place, this time, this period, this moment in eternity is not our home. That someday we are going to pass from this life into the next life. And for those of us who have given our lives to God through Jesus Christ, we are going to be with Him for eternity. And that is a part of our story, to have that future perspective. And that future perspective encourages us to move forward because we begin to say, well, this is just temporary. This is just a moment. This is just what is going on right now, but there's something bigger that God is doing. So what's the fourth word? Future. Okay. Fourth word? Future. Okay. So what's the first word? Love. Moves us to what? Connect. That gives us the ability to what? Believe. That gives us a, what kind of perspective? A future perspective. Here's the fifth word. The fifth word is trust. What's the fifth word? Okay, let's go back to fourth word a little slow. What's the fourth word? Future. Fifth word? Trust. Okay. It moves us to a point. Here's what I love about Hebrews chapter 11, that people trusted God for whatever the outcome was. Hebrews chapter 11 would be awesome if it stopped three quarters of the way through. Right? If it just kind of, for those of you who read Hebrews chapter 11, like amazing, if this person of faith, this person of faith. But look at verse 32. We'll pick it up there. Here's what it says in verse 32. And what more shall I say? I don't have time. So he's just saying, he's listed off a bunch of people. And he said, I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. Like he's basically saying, I can go on and on and on and on and on and on from this day, the next day, the next day, the next day. I can just keep going on about all these people and the faith that they demonstrated. Now look at verse 33. Who faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, which would be awesome, right? Quenched the fury of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women receiving back their dead, raised to life again. So who doesn't want to be a part of that movie, right? Like to be a part of moving out and seeing God's hands in just extraordinary ways. In fact, one of the ways I was sharing with our staff just a couple weeks ago, man, read 1 Samuel chapter 14, the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer who go over and they start like fighting, and then the people, the Israelites come over to the Philistines and they begin to fight themselves. I mean, like this would be amazing stuff to be a part of. And some of these people got to be a part of this amazing story, but then it goes on. There are others who are tortured, refusing to be released so they might gain even a better resurrection. Some face jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two, which is ugh. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. Check out this next word. And the world was not worthy of them. Like what he's saying is there some people who through faith experienced amazing things. They got to shut the mouths of lions. They got to conquer armies. They got to see just extraordinary things. And they got to see God's presence. But there are other people who saw God's presence in the midst of pain, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of moving out in faith and not exactly happening the way they thought it was going to happen. But even experiencing death and being sawed in two, they were able to see God and to praise God in the midst of that. Because they were able to trust God with whatever the outcome was. And so God, if it's to your glory and you want me to rout foreign armies, then fine. If you want me to die by death by the sword, then praise be to you. If you want me to have favor with my boss, then praise be to you. If you want me to be rejected by my coworkers, then praise be to you as well. If it means that I experience success, if I mean I experience what the world would consider as failure, then praise be to you. Because God, I'm going to trust through you and knowing who you are, having a future perspective, that whatever the outcome is, that I'm going to trust you with that. Here's the deal though. You can't just start there. Right, I couldn't get up here and just like, okay, try harder. Like, let's have more faith. Ready, rah, rah. Everybody put your hands in. Ready, one, two, three, faith. Woo, you know? Like, you have to start at the foundation of loving God. And through that love, you will develop a connection, a true, deep, intimate connection with His heart. And through that connection, you'll begin to believe. You'll begin to believe God in his promises. You'll believe God in his goodness. You'll begin to believe God in his plan. And in the midst of that, you will understand that a future perspective, that this is temporary. This is moment. And in that, you will say, God, whatever the outcome is, I trust you. First word, love. Second word, connect. Third word, believe. Fourth word, future. Gives us the last word is what? Trust. Here's the deal for us this morning. I know for a fact that there are steps of faith that God is asking people in this room to take. I know it because that's who he is. That's his character. What I've seen over my limited amount of years is that he is continually asking us to trust him more, believe in him, continue to move forward, and to put our faith in him and what he wants us to do. And so I don't know what that is for you. For some of you, it could be a matter of, hey, you need to have a conversation with your child. You need to walk in faith believing that I have the best for that child, and you need to follow me with a conversation that I'm asking you to take. For some of you, it's a conversation with a neighbor that God has been prodding you for a week or 2 weeks or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, that they want you to develop a relationship with that neighbor, and he's trying to push you out and take that step of faith. For some of you, it's a conversation with your boss. For some of you, it might be a career change. For some of you, it might be being a missionary and giving up the comfort of life. I don't know what that is for you, but I believe for some people in this room, God is asking you to take steps of faith. And it's not just me standing up here and say, do it. Yeah, come on, you can do it. Starts with love for God. And that love, that intimacy will move us into a connection with him. And that connection will allow us to understand that Dad's going to do what he says he's going to do. I can trust him. I can trust in his character. I can believe in him. But in that, I understand, you know what? This is just temporary. This place is just a moment. I have a future perspective. And God, I can, because of your goodness, because of that future perspective, I can say, whatever you want the outcome to be, whatever that looks like, whether that means that I get to rout foreign armies, or if that means I get sawed in two. That means I get to have success and victory, then praise be to you. But if that means that I struggle and I'm heartbroken, I feel lonely, then praise be to you as well. My encouragement to you, my plead for you, what God is telling me is to continue to take steps of faith, continue to believe him in the things that he's calling us to do. God, just thank you for this morning. Just thank you for the ways in which you stir in us, the things that you do through us. I thank you for the opportunities that you give us to be a part of following you. And God, sometimes those steps seem so big and scary as we look at the edge of the pool. And it's so easy, but it's comfortable and known, and it's so scary to jump into the unknown. But God, I pray for us. I pray first that it would start with a deep love for you. That God, we can't have faith without a love for you. So continue to stir our affections. Continue to stir our hearts. That would continually draw us towards you. And through that love, God, that we would connect with you in deep ways. God, that we would begin to feel the things that you feel, begin to see the world the way that you see the world, begin to be a part of your movement, your kingdom being built, people being reconciled back to you. And through that, God, that we would rest in your goodness, rest in your sovereignty, your providence. God, that we would be able to know who you are, and be able to believe in the things that you've promised. But God, give us a future perspective. This isn't our home. This isn't the place that we need to put all of our energy and our focus into, because, God, we have a bigger perspective. We have a future perspective. We understand that someday we're going to be with you for eternity. And in light of that, God, we're willing to respond and we're willing to trust you. Willing to trust in whatever the outcome looks like. God, if that means that we get to experience something amazing, or if that means that we struggle, if that means we get recognized, if that means that we die for our faith, God, we trust you with whatever the outcome is. So continue to change us, God. I just pray that this would not just be information that just sits on our minds and doesn't seep in down to the cracks of our heart, that would transform us and change us to become the people of God who take steps of faith, who believe in you and are a part of your work. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the things that you're doing in the city and around us. We love you so much. In your son's name, amen.